We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Garrettson and Toth presents The Shift with Jack Johnson on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 94.5 FM.
We are back with another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. Shout out to our presenting sponsors, starting with Garrettson and Toth. They handle the most complex felony, federal, or state criminal defense cases. You'll find them in doing that successfully, helping criminal defendants all over the Kansas City area and Northeast Kansas for years. Also, be sure to visit Kim Howard and Associates Agency at 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park, or give Kim and her team a call at 913-649-2002. That's 913-649-2002 for a quote on your home and auto insurance today. And if you call that number and mention that you heard their ad here on The Shift, Kim and her team will give you a free $10 gift card to Starbucks to use whenever you would like. Coffee, tea, breakfast items, it's your $10. All you got to do is call that number at 913-649-2002 and mention that you heard Kim and her team's ad right here on ESPN Kansas City. Well, since we weren't on air Thursday and Friday due to March Madness preview, today's show is pretty much going to be dedicated all to the NCAA tournament and what happened to the three local teams. Only one of them is going to be moving on to this upcoming weekend, and that will be the Kansas State Wildcats after beating Montana State on Friday night and then Kentucky yesterday afternoon. As for the other two local teams, the Kansas Jayhawks and the Missouri Tigers, their seasons were ended on Saturday. Kansas losing to Arkansas in the round of 32, and Missouri losing to the Cinderella team Princeton Tigers later on Saturday evening. But we will kick off the show talking about the Jayhawks. Then in the middle part of our show, we will talk about the Kansas State Wildcats as they are Sweet 16 bound for the first time under Jerome Tang. They will now take on Michigan State and Tom Izzo in New York on Thursday. They will be the first game to tip off in the Sweet 16. Arkansas and UConn will be the second game to tip off. It's about 30 or 45 minutes after that. But we'll have some K-State audio for you from after the game on Sunday afternoon following their win over Kentucky. And we will conclude the show with what happened to the Missouri Tigers and their drubbing at the hands of 15-seeded Princeton. But let's kick it off with Kansas's loss to Arkansas. And there are going to be a lot of thoughts, a lot of opinions on Kansas's season coming up short. I think the important thing to point out before we dive into anything else is the obscurity, the difficult part of this tournament, the buzzsaw you have to go through, and it's not to make excuses, right? Kansas lost to a team that by every single measure was inferior to them. You could bring up how athletic Arkansas was or how well they shot it in the second half or they shot it better from the free throw line. Tough crap, man. Tough crap. They played a better game in the second half. You blew a double-digit lead in the second half. I don't want to hear any of the DeJuan Harris wasn't 100% healthy. I don't want to hear about the officiating. I don't want to hear any of that. Kansas lost fair and square to a team that simply, and I hate this saying, but I'm going to have to use it, they wanted it more in the second half. Arkansas looked like a team in the second half that knew their season was on the line, and Kansas was a little bit lackadaisical. And when things got tight, despite having a massive home court advantage with the fans in attendance, they were crumbling. They tensed up. They got tight. And Arkansas pounced on that. And at times you have to tip your cap to a team that just got the best of you on that day. Look, I understand that not having Bill Self is a gut punch. You want to have your Hall of Fame head coach out there. But we can't even blame the loss on Bill Self not being there. There were other on-court type of flaws for this team that really caused the derail in the second half. I mean, Kansas really looked like a team about 5, 6, 7 minutes into the second half that was going to be on their way of putting away a team. going to be on their way to Vegas, take on either UConn or St. Mary's. And then when the shots didn't fall, when the turnover started to mount and Arkansas started making the difficult shots, you could tell it really affected this Kansas team. Now, from a basketball standpoint, from a statistical standpoint, this game was lost for Kansas because they had no front court depth. When KJ Adams got into foul trouble, and I know the officials wanted to call a lot on Saturday, but it was both ways. That's not an excuse. When they're calling a lot of ticky-tack fouls, you can't be as physical as you usually are. And the Kansas bigs didn't take that seriously whatsoever. And a big reason as to why Arkansas was able to claw back into that game is because KJ Adams had four fouls, Ernest Udeh had four fouls, and you're relying on Zach Clements and Zubi Ejiofor to carry the workload at the five spot. That's not going to win you the game. And it has been such a head-scratcher this year, over the 36 games, how much of a lack of a presence Zach Clements was. And you thought after last year, a couple of times throughout the year, he had a big game against Oklahoma, gave you some big minutes, he was physical, he was a guy you wanted to see out there from time to time. He gave you nothing this year. And I'm sorry if that's harsh, but Zach Clements gave Kansas absolutely nothing this year. He took more shots, it felt like, from 30 feet than he did from 3 feet. And despite shooting a very low percentage from outside, it didn't stop him from shooting the ball from deep. And I know that the message in basketball is always keep shooting, have confidence in yourself, trust yourself. Hell, I don't even know if I can blame Zach Clements as much as I can blame the coaching staff. For a guy that's shooting sub probably 10% from three-point range to still have the green light. I mean, it's a little thing. He took one shot in the game, but that's just not a heads-up type of play. And the only reason I bring this up is because when you have inexperience out there at the five, you're hoping you can just steal a couple of minutes. You're hoping this Kansas team can just get by with KJ Adams on the bench. Now, Ernest Udeh was Kansas's best big off the bench. And late in the season, he really matured. He turned into a viable option as the sixth or seventh man for Kansas. But he was not very smart in the game on Saturday. In a matter of 30 seconds, he picks up illegal screens on back-to-back possessions, or it felt like back-to-back possessions. They were really close together. That can't happen. It doesn't matter if you disagree with the call or not. It was the same exact screen he set. And that puts you in foul trouble. Now you're trying to steal minutes from your third big, your fourth big. And Kansas simply couldn't overcome that. Now, in the second half, I want to put some of the blame here on Norm Roberts. And I thought Norm Roberts, in the games that he filled in for Bill Self this year, did a damn good job. For the most part, he did a damn good job. It's not like Kansas lost to a team that was the complete Cinderella story of the tournament. Arkansas was the preseason favorite to win the SEC. They had a number two recruiting class in the nation. They have two lottery picks. They had one of the best transfers in the portal, and Ricky Council. It was a good team. And Eric Musselman had taken that team to back-to-back Elite Eights and could very well be on their way to three straight Elite Eights. So it's a team that has played in the NCAA tournament, not together, but a team that has some culture there. So it's not like you were upended by a team that had never been there. You didn't lose to Howard. But I think we did see the disconnect when this team plays for Norm Roberts as opposed to Bill Self. I think they love playing for Norm Roberts. But there were times in the game I thought, I think Bill Self would do things differently here. You know, when Kansas had a 12-point lead that caused Arkansas to call a timeout, that really is a throat-clutching time, step-on-their-throats type of moment, you know, put-them-through-the-wall type of moment. You know, that really, to me, if Bill Self is coaching that team, Kansas could run away with it. Because I think Bill Self knows how to handle moments like that. And if Arkansas goes on a slight run or a little bit of a spurt moments after the timeout, you got to be able to adjust. And what Norm Roberts failed to do in the second half is that when Arkansas got hot, got the crowd back into it, got the players feeling it, he let it play out. And it's not the Roy Williams-style Kansas teams. Bill Self's teams have never been like Roy Williams' teams, where Roy would never call a timeout no matter how bad it got. And there was a time, I thought, in the second half, even after a 6-0 run, call a timeout, give your guys a break, let's regroup. Don't let the momentum spiral out of control. And it did. And Arkansas took that and eventually took the lead 52-51 on a 3-point shot by Jordan Walsh. Those are the mistakes that compile together that result in your season ending a couple of rounds early. Now, was this a Kansas team that was going to go the distance? History would probably tell you otherwise. In fact, since 2016, no national champion, the year before that, had made it out of the first weekend. Think about that. Every national title-winning team the year before had never made it out of the round of 32 the following year. They hadn't made it to the Elite Eight since 2007, and that was the Florida Gators, the team that went on to win back-to-back titles. The odds were going to be against Kansas, but of course a tournament loss is always going to sting. Those tournament losses, the end of your year, are always going to hurt no matter who you lose to. Right, if Kansas won against Arkansas, but lost on Thursday to UConn, you'd be feeling the exact same way all weekend. Or if they beat UConn and lost to UCLA in the Elite Eight, you'd feel the exact same way. If they made it to the Final Four and lost to Texas again, same exact way. They make it to the championship game, they lose to Alabama, you feel the same way. It's just because your season ends. It doesn't matter who you lose to. It's that you know your season is over and you have to see other teams and the team that beat you move on to the next round. Now, I think for most Kansas fans, it's a little bit of an easier pill to swallow when you are coming off a national championship. For instance, if Kansas didn't overcome a 15-point deficit at halftime to North Carolina and lost in New Orleans last year, this loss would sting a lot. It would. You had another one seed. You had the most quad one wins in college basketball. You had a National Player of the Year candidate in Jalen Wilson. You felt like the stars were aligning. Sometimes losing early in the tournament, though it's never easy, it's easier to swallow when you won the year before. Take Purdue, for example. Purdue lost to a 15 seed last year and lost to a 16 seed this year. Those aren't easy pills to swallow. Now, I think it also comes down to how you lost. Was Kansas trailing the whole game? No. They had a double-digit lead in the second half. They blew it. They had another 10-second violation, bringing the ball up the floor. About a decade since the last time they did that resulted in a crumbling in the NCAA tournament. Everybody remembers Elijah Johnson getting the 10-second violation against Michigan and Mitch McGarry and Trey Burke that led to the eventual downfall and loss in overtime. It's things like that, that when you see them happen in person or you're watching on TV, you know it's about to happen. You know a crumbling is happening. That's the NCAA tournament. That's what makes you love it. That's what makes you hate it. The NCAA tournament is a thrilling college experience. But when you lose, it makes you despise a tournament like this because you're not gifted second chances. You lose, you're done. You play poorly, you're done. The mistakes you made in the first half, the second half, the dumb fouls you made, the bad substitutions you made, the not calling a timeout here, the calling a timeout there, you can't go back and redo them. And in that game against Arkansas, Kansas made more mistakes when it mattered more. Arkansas hit the tough shots. Kansas didn't. And this will be a team that years down the road, you will look back and I think you will remember them. But I haven't quite figured out if it's a team I'll look back and go, man, that's one of the great teams, one of the great Kansas teams that never won a title. I don't know if I'll look back and see this team as one of those. I think when I look back at the team that lost to Northern Iowa in 2009, that is a Kansas team I believe had a great chance of winning a title. They were the number one overall seed. They had lost two games all year. Two games all year. That was a team that I think could have made a title run if they didn't have one off afternoon against Northern Iowa and Ali Farokhamanesh. I think the team that lost to VCU and Shaka Smart was a team that was destined to go to the national championship after playing the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight in San Antonio, Texas, where you had won a title a couple years before that, and you were going to go on to the Final Four, and you lost to an 11 seed. That's a team, I think, that was destined for a title. Now, I'm not just throwing out good Kansas teams that should have won a title. How about the 2012 team that lost to Kentucky? I look back at them over a decade later and do not see them as a team that was destined for a title. They ran into one of the best college basketball teams we'd ever seen, and the Kentucky Wildcats with Anthony Davis, with Terrence Jones. You know, they had the two best big men in the country. And even though you had Thomas Robinson and Jeff Withey, you couldn't overcome that. I will look at this team very much the same, I think, I looked at the team after the 2008 team. The team that lost to Michigan State in the Sweet 16. A good team. Sharon Collins, Cole Aldridge, the Morris Twins their freshman year, Tyshawn Taylor, young team. But a team that was flawed, a team that had holes. And this Kansas team, whether we want to admit it or not, had a lot of holes. And though we spent months on this show bringing up the positives and also trying to criticize from time to time, bring up the negatives of this team, I think when it's all said and done, and you look back at the eight losses that Kansas had, five of them were blowout losses. And I mean blowout losses. They were not close. A team that lost to Tennessee and scored 50 points. And Tennessee is in the Sweet 16. They're a good team. They weren't close. Good Kansas teams, title-contending Kansas teams, and I don't want to say good team. This was a good Kansas team. Title-contending Kansas teams don't get blown out five times a year. They don't lose to TCU by 23 at home. And I understand last season Kansas got mollywopped, drop-kicked, just drummed by Kentucky and Allen Fieldhouse. That was Kentucky. That's a blue-blood team. That's a team that was a two-seed. TCU was a six-seed in the tournament. They won by 23 at Allen Fieldhouse. This Kansas team got humiliated in Ames, Iowa, scored 53 points against an Iowa State team that had 32 points late in the second half in the first round of the tournament. They got drubbed by a good Texas team, a very good Texas team, by 20 in the Big 12 championship and just 1 week removed from losing to them by double digits in Austin. Title-contending Kansas teams don't do that. And I think why this team was so confusing was they had great wins. They had 17 quad one wins, came back from 17 against Baylor at home, and won by double digits. They had some impressive moments this season, winning in Lexington against Kentucky, winning by 12 against Kansas State, who's in the Sweet 16. Good wins. But it was a flawed team. And I think on Saturday, we saw a flawed team get exposed. And I don't think we want to sit here on Monday, folks, and make excuses. I don't want to hear about the draw in the region. Everybody's got tough matchups. Did it suck that Kansas didn't get to play in Kansas City? Yeah, but they wouldn't have made it to Kansas City. They lost in the second round. Now, would they have gotten Auburn or Iowa? Who knows? We'll never know what the region would have looked like if Kansas was the one seed in the Midwest. But that's neither here nor there. They got the West region. You get tough draws from time to time. And you play good teams every single time out. You're not playing cupcakes every single weekend. You played an SEC team, a Power 5 school, a team that was preseason top 10. And though they didn't achieve up to their standards, they were hot by the time the tournament rolled around. You had good things happen throughout the game. I thought DeJuan Harris, for the most part, played well despite not being 100%. You know, Jalen Wilson had 20. Grady Dick hit some big shots. KJ Adams had some big shots in the second half. But the bench wasn't as deep. They didn't have a Remy Martin this year. As much as Joseph Yesufu tried, as much as Bobby Pettiford tried, they didn't get anything from MJ Rice this year. Didn't get anything from Zach Clements. Didn't really get much from Zubi Ejiofor. And you can't really rely on guys in the tournament that you didn't get much from throughout the year. And that was the downfall of this Kansas team as they lose to Arkansas in the round of 32, 72-71. Look, winning another national championship was always going to be a pipe dream. It was. Whether they were a one seed or not, a one seed in the Midwest, whoever their two seed or their three seed or their four seed was, it was always going to be a pipe dream. Not because this team wasn't capable, because the odds stacked against a team coming off a national title. Nobody's done it since the Florida Gators, pre-2010, 2007, 06, 07. Nobody's done it since. And there have been some really, really dominant teams that didn't even reach the title game. Maybe the best team we've ever seen in our lifetime. The nearly 40-0 Kentucky Wildcats didn't even reach the title game. They lost to Wisconsin and Frank Kaminsky and Sam Decker in the Final Four. That's why this tournament is so tough to run it back. You can win it one time, but there's also a big reason as to why even blue blood schools go decades apart from winning national championships. Kansas won in 08 and didn't win one for nearly 15 years. Duke won in 2015. Haven't really come particularly close since then. The Zion Williamson team, the team that had really thumped teams all year long, lost to Michigan State in the Elite Eight. Kentucky beat Kansas in 2012. Haven't won since. You know, North Carolina had a couple of championships in the 2010s. I think it was 2017, I want to say. Had lost to the title to Villanova, then lost to Kansas. They may have been the blue blood school that has been there the most, but also keep in mind, they've missed the tournament a handful of times during that stretch. The NCAA tournament is the hardest postseason event to win. And just because you lose doesn't mean your season was a failure, even if you didn't reach the standards you set for yourself. But if you're a Kansas fan out there listening, there shouldn't be any excuses. You shouldn't be pointing to Bill Self not being there. I know it played a factor, but Kansas lost. Bill Self wasn't there, therefore it's the coach you have out there, and it was Norm Roberts. It's the team you have out there. Was DeJuan Harris 100%? Likely not in the second half, but he played. He played a lot of minutes, so you can't blame that. You can't blame officiating because there were missed calls both ways. Both teams had to play with it. And every team that loses a big game wants to blame the officials. Don't. It's the coward thing to do. This was a Kansas team that was fun to watch all season long, but it was always going to be a pipe dream to win another championship just 1 year ago or 1 year apart. Jalen Wilson will go down as one of the better Kansas players of all time. Kevin McCullough really embraced being a Kansas player after coming over from Texas Tech. DeJuan Harris had a great year. KJ Adams took a massive step forward. There was a lot of good from this season. And just because a loss happened early in the first weekend doesn't mean 28 wins and 17 quad one wins are for naught, that it doesn't matter. This Kansas team accomplished a lot, but when it came down to the postseason, they couldn't get it done. They lost to a team that was better than them on that day. And that's what you really chalk it up to in the NCAA tournament. The talent gap between teams now is not as wide as it once was. The first weekend for one seeds, it used to be a shoe-in. There was very few upsets 15, 20 years ago. There just weren't. Now with the transfer portal, guys being able to bounce from place to place, the talent gap is not as wide as it once was. Like I said, when talking about Arkansas, preseason top 10. They'd been to the Elite Eight back-to-back years. They have two lottery picks, the number two recruiting class in the nation, one of the top transfers in Ricky Council, two big transfers from Rhode Island, Makai and Mikel Mitchell. And you return a guy that had been on back-to-back Elite Eight teams, Devo Davis, who was the leading scorer for Arkansas. That's an 8 seed in the NCAA tournament. The talent gap is not that big anymore between 1 and 8 and 9 seeds. Hell, it ain't that big from 2 and 15 seeds anymore. That's why we've seen a 16 seed, despite the years and decades of years before that, no 16 seed ever winning. It's why we've seen 2 in the last 10 years. Talent gap is shrinking. And maybe that's really good for college basketball. But if you're a team that got eliminated in the first round, maybe you don't like that the talent gap is closing in a lot between these lower seeds and the top seeds in the tournament. But maybe it makes it that much more impressive when you actually win the whole thing. But we do know for a fact it will not be Kansas as the first team to repeat as national champions since the 2006-2007 Florida Gators. All right, let's take our first break of the show. When we come back, we will talk about the Sweet 16-bound K-State Wildcats, and we'll hear from Jerome Tang and the players. That's next on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN, Kansas City. Welcome back into the shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN, Kansas City. I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. So we gave you the full rundown of the Kansas Jayhawks, whose season ended on Saturday at the hands of the Arkansas Razorbacks. And before we get into the Missouri Tigers, it's time to talk about the only local team that is Sweet 16-bound, which is Jerome Tang and the Kansas State Wildcats after winning 75-69 over Kentucky on Sunday afternoon. I think some of the numbers here are just baffling to go over because Kentucky, I would have given you a few stats here, I think you would have thought that Kentucky won the game. They out-rebounded Kansas State by 19. Oscar Tshiebwe in the game had 25 points and 18 boards. You also got Kaysen Wallace to give you 21 points on 9 of 11 shooting. Also 9 boards and 4 assists. But some of the biggest factors in the game were not so much what Kentucky did with two guys. It was what Kansas State did with one. And that was Marquise Noel, who has been the star. He has taken the spotlight from Keontae Johnson. And we have talked about Marquise Noel hundreds of times on the show, about he really will decide how far this Kansas State team really goes. And when he gives you 27 points and 9 assists and around a 32 game in Greensboro against Kentucky, more often than not, this Kansas State team's going to win that game. It doesn't matter if Oscar Tshiebwe gives you 5 rebounds or 50 rebounds. Kentucky had no answer for Marquise Noel yesterday. And they were more balanced. Keontae Johnson, 13 points. Desi Sills, 12 points. Naquan Tomlin, 12 points. And 7 bench points from David Gasson and Ishmael Massoud. And there were a couple of times that Kansas State could have folded. They were not hitting anything to start the game. Kentucky went on a big run to open up the second half. They led by 9, I think, at one point. But it was Marquise Noel, time and time and again, bringing this team back into the game. And this Kentucky team, when we bring up really talented bunches, and I think I said one of the teams Kansas State didn't want to run into was Kentucky. You don't want you want Providence much more so than Kentucky, because even though they lost double-digit games this year, they're unpredictable. They had Oscar Tshiebwe. They had 5-star freshmen. They had John Calipari. You don't want to see that. But Kansas State has had experience with Kentucky in the tournament. They were 1-1 in the last 10 years going up against Kentucky. Lost the first one as an 8 seed or a 9 seed. Can't remember which one they were. Then beat them to go to the Sweet 16 back in 2018 when they had their Elite Eight run but lost to Loyola Chicago. And once again, they get it done in the round of 32. And this Kansas State team is continuing to write this most unpredictable story. Preseason, last place finish in the Big 12, and now heading to the Sweet 16, and Kansas has not. A team that was expected to be at the top of the conference. In fact, the two teams that were projected to win the conference, Baylor and Kansas, are now going to be sitting at home. And Kansas State is going on to New York to take on Tom Izzo and Michigan State. I know for Kansas fans, you don't want to see this. For Kansas State fans, this is probably one of the most surreal experiences you've had as a Kansas State basketball fan, even more so than the Elite Eight run back in 2018. Because back then, that was a Kansas State team that had a lot of experience. That was the group that had lost together for 3 years before really taking off. Dean Wade, Barry Brown, Cartier Jara. You know, some of those experienced guys, but they were led by Barry Brown and Dean Wade. And they were under Bruce Weber. And they had gotten all the way to the Elite Eight, had some big-time wins. But this one feels a little bit different. And I think it's because of what Jerome Tang had to do in just 1 year at Kansas State. He lost his best player, Nigel Packer, Kansas State's best player. He had to completely reload a roster. They had two returning guys that played minutes last year, Marquise Noel and Ishmael Massoud. And I think with Marquise Noel staying and performing at what he's doing now, performing at the level of what he's doing now, he may go down as one of the all-time Kansas State greats, or at least fan favorites. Because Marquise Noel could have sat here about, nearly a year ago at this point. Go to April. We'll go 11 months ago. He could have sat there, or actually, no, let's go a year ago, because Kansas State didn't make the NCAA tournament. He could have sat there in Manhattan and said, everybody's leaving. Do I really want to stay around for my final year of college basketball with a new coach and lose a lot of games? And he decided he wanted to stay because he believed in Jerome Tang. He believed in what Kansas State was doing. And they have never shown any signs of weakness this year. It's the toughest the Big 12 has ever been. They finished third, and now they're headed to the Sweet 16. Win or lose on Saturday, or excuse me, on Thursday, to Michigan State, it really doesn't matter. I thought for the first weekend, it would have been a bit of a disappointment if Kansas State didn't make it out of it, because you're not going to have Keontae Johnson or Marquise Noel next year. You're going to lose Desi Sills. You're going to lose a good chunk of your stars. Not to say you can't reload, because Jerome Tang reloaded in 1 year. But it was about capitalizing on a team that really, when it was all said and done, was a damn good team. It was a team that really had the ceiling of reaching a Final Four. Though it maybe took some people a longer time to understand that fact. Now, it's not like Kansas State is in uncharted territory. It may feel different because last couple years it's been a disaster in Manhattan. But they've been to this point before. And I think what we're going to see on Thursday is the season done? Was getting to the Sweet 16 enough? I think to the media, to everybody out there, you'll go, if they lose to Michigan State and Tom Izzo, a Hall of Fame head coach, it's not a bad loss. In fact, they're not favored to win on Thursday. They are expected to lose to Tom Izzo and Michigan State, a 7 seed, because Michigan State has more culture. But so did Kentucky. And Jerome Tang and Kansas State won that game. They're quickly becoming America's team. People are falling in love with them, Jerome Tang. They beat big, bad, blue Kentucky. They beat Kansas earlier in the year. And everybody loves an underdog story. And even though they're not really an underdog anymore as a 3 seed, people are going to look at him like that. You have Mighty Mouse, who he's been dubbed Mighty Mouse, and Marquise Noel. He's reaching Jacob Poland territory of being all-time favorite point guards of Kansas State fans. Keontae Johnson hadn't played in 2 years. Didn't know if he'd ever play basketball again. He's a Naismith finalist. Naquan Tomlin hadn't played organized basketball longer than 2 years. And he's starting for Kansas State and catching behind-the-back passes and alley-oops for Marquise Noel. Desi Sills on his third college team in his, fifth or sixth year of college basketball. It's a team that has a lot of, underdogs. They're a good team, but they're underdog guys. Marquise Noel from Arkansas, Little Rock. He's 5'8" on a good day. Keontae Johnson, none of the big schools wanted him. Desi Sills, couldn't cut it at Arkansas, went to Arkansas State, now at Kansas State. Nobody looked at Naquan Tomlin. Nobody looked at Cam Carter, David Gasson. And here they are, thriving. And now headed to the Sweet 16 where they take on Michigan State. And if they get past the Spartans, the only team ahead of them or in front of them from reaching the Final Four would be either Florida Atlantic or the Tennessee Volunteers. So Kansas State completely overachieving this year in a good way. That's not to knock who they are as a team or who Jerome Tang is. They were preseason dead last in the Big 12, and now one of the few Big 12 teams headed to the second weekend. Now, that's enough of me rambling on and on, because without further ado, here is Jerome Tang and what the players had to say following their win, to the Kentucky Wildcats and John Calipari.
Okay, whenever you're ready.
I get no rebounds.
I get to start.
General comments, yes, it's all yours.
First and foremost, I would just like to thank the good Lord for this opportunity and the blessings that he's given us. And I want to thank my wife. She just puts up with so much. And these young men across here, man, we've asked a lot of them, and every time they've delivered. And I'm so proud of them, so proud to represent Kansas State. I'm so proud to be a part of the community of Manhattan, and I'm just blessed, man. I'm so blessed.
Okay, questions? Please raise your hand. Let us get the handheld mics to you and let us know who you are and who you're with. First question, second row.
Nicole Auerbach, The Athletic. Jerome, congratulations. When you took over and you had two guys on your roster, did you think this was possible?
I thought that we could be an NCAA tournament team. That was my goal. Keese and I went out to lunch one day, and I just told him, I said, Keese, I'm going to do everything in my power to put a team together that will get him a chance to get to the NCAA tournament. And he told me, he said, Coach, I don't care if we have five dudes, right? We're going to the tournament because Kimball Walker won a national championship with, I think it was like three freshmen and two sophomores, whatever it was. But he knew, right? And I was like, man, with that kind of confidence, inspired me to work harder and our staff to work harder. And so he always believed it, and he helped me believe.
Front row.
He's got Rich and K-State Athletics. Marquise, you're going home, man. How's this feel?
Man, it still feels, surreal. But I got to give all the honor and the glory to God himself, man. I could have done it without my teammates and my coaching staff. They put together a good game plan, and we believed in it. And I'm just happy we got the victory today.
Third row.
Ish, I feel like you haven't had a big shot like that since the game against Baylor, but to be able to step up in that moment at that time and knock one down at that moment, like, can you just take me through the emotions of that play?
The whole time, the whole game, really, I was just trying to do my part. And today I felt like it was, front of the post and just trying to be physical and match the physicality of, obviously, Oscar and stuff like that. But I knew there would come a time, especially when how we weren't shooting the ball that well, I knew there would come a time when I was going to get an opportunity to make a shot. And I was just got to make sure I was ready. And Keith found me, and I just let it go, no hesitation. So it's just, I didn't really think much of it until after I hit it. But I was just grateful Keith had trust in me to pass that ball.
For Coach Tang, first of all, guys, congratulations on the victory. With a guy like Oscar Tshiebwe, dominant with the rebounds, they're getting so many second chance opportunities in a close game. How important is a number of just having eight turnovers in the game? You're still undefeated when it comes to turnovers 11 or less.
Yeah, they've heard it from me enough. We've sorted through it. And, to start the half, we had – three quick turnovers, right? And I don't think we turned it over again the rest of the way. So it's huge. If we get shots up, we're hard to beat. And as long as we don't give the other team the ball, and we defended today, right? And we knew that Oscar was going to get his, but we had to control everybody else. Kayson Wallace had an unbelievable game, did a great job, but we felt we did a good job on the three-point shooters, and I think that was the difference in the game.
Front row.
Coach Tang, you always talk about big-time players making big-time plays and big-time moments. And Keontae, was able to hit that three-pointer at the end there. I'm curious if you could comment on that and then also on Marquise just kind of going off tonight.
Dudes. We got dudes. And that's what it takes. Like, this is, I mean, people get all caught up in the coaching and all that stuff. It's dudes. You got to have players. And these dudes, they work, right? They've put in the time. We talked about it before this game, right? We're going to trust our work. And we've won really good games against other really good teams in really tough environments before. So we were prepared for this. And I expected them to play great. And I every time they shot it, I thought it was going in. And so it's just they believe in themselves, but they don't just do it, it's not fake confidence, right? It's the work that they put in, the hours they spend in the gym, and all of them, you know. And I knew Ish was going to make that shot because he wants to go to New York.
Second row.
So Marquise, you coach mentioned Kemba. I know you've talked about him. He's been someone who you've looked up to for a really long time. In the second half, when you are really taking over the game and scoring a lot, like, what does that feel like to be in a Kemba Walker-esque moment?
I mean, I was just in attack mode second half because I seen how they were playing me. They were playing me for the pass because I dropped a lot of dimes in the first half. So I just figured that, you know, I tried to look for my own shot a little bit more and be more aggressive. And I wanted to go to New York. So
front row.
Brett Friedlander, Saturday Road. This is for any of the players, but especially you. You guys were 0-for-12 from three-point range in the first half and 5-for-9 in the second half. Other than going back to the locker room and resetting, was there anything that you guys did differently to bring about the change of accuracy there?
Marquise.
We just told each other we stood positive in the locker room when things weren't falling. We just said that, you know, second half we were going to start hitting some shots, and we did. But it was just nothing but positive vibes, you know, going into the locker room.
Keontae?
I mean, piggyback what Key said. I mean, we just went in the locker room just keeping the confidence. We knew shots was going to fall. Eventually, Coach Green told me to keep shooting. I haven't even got started yet. So Key challenged me during the game when he got on me, wanted me to shoot. And I just kept driving, and then the last shot, I mean, I shot it confident, so that was it.
To add to what they said, you know, even though the shots weren't falling in the first half, our defense was where it needed to be, and we knew if we kept defending like we were, our shots were going to fall, because in the first half, we got a lot of really good looks that we were all happy with, and we all got belief in each other, so we knew it was going to fall.
Third row in front of me.
Coach, after the game, you and Gene Taylor embraced in a pretty large hug. To be able to do this in your first year, go to the Sweet 16 in your first year as a head coach. Emotionally, what's it like to share it with someone who brought you here and took a chance on you after so many years of trying to become a head coach?
That was really cool. I watched Gene and Coach Kleiman hug after a win. I was watching on TV, and they had like this hug, and you could tell like there was this love and appreciation for each other with the hug, and I was like, man, I'm going to get a hug like that. I'm going to get a hug like that because I absolutely love him, and I can't tell you, like, how much I appreciated, like, him taking a chance on me, you know. And words can't express it, man. But I wanted one of those hugs, and I'm thankful that I get to live life with this man.
Back right.
Wallace. Ish, Josh Graham, WSJS. If memory serves, the last time, your last game at Wake in this building, you were beaten at the buzzer. At the end, you were kind of standing at midcourt, a bit emotional. I saw you hug Randolph Childress as well. What were you feeling as you were going through that line of fans, and it ended with Coach Chill there?
I mean, it's just a flood of happiness and emotions because, you know, it took a lot for all of us to get here, from being picked last to all the workouts in the summer, and for me to have that moment, it meant a lot because, you know, you never know when you have another opportunity like this. And for me to be able to play my role for this team and help this team and help us accomplish our goals, it was just so much emotion that I couldn't contain other than crying.
There was Jerome Tang and the players following Kansas State's win 75-69 over the Kentucky Wildcats in the round of 32. Up next, they'll take on Tom Izzo and the Michigan State Spartans this Thursday. That will be the first game to tip off in the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. All right, we'll take our final break of the show. When we come back, it's time to talk about the third local team and the Missouri Tigers as their NCAA tournament run came up short this weekend as well, as they fell at the hands of the 15-seeded Princeton Tigers. We'll get into that next on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back into The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I am your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. Just a couple more minutes left in the show. We saved just about 2 minutes here, to talk about the Missouri Tigers, who fell at the hands of the 15-seeded Princeton Tigers on Saturday, 78-63. The problem with Missouri on Saturday is they just couldn't contain the Tigers from deep. 12 three-pointers for Princeton, only 6 for Missouri, and that was one of their best attributes going into the tournament in terms of how they played in the SEC tournament, also in their win over Utah State. They were great at shooting the ball from deep. You always want to get a guy like DeMoy Hodge going. He was 0-3 from deep, and the only guys to hit three-pointers a game were Noah Carter, Kobe Brown, and Nick Honor. But yeah, the shots were not falling for the Missouri Tigers on Saturday, and once it sort of turned into a panic mode, that's when Princeton really settled in, got the shots that they wanted. The crowd turned on Missouri, wanting a 15 seed to get to the second round, but kind of in the same way we talked about Kansas State and what a first weekend loss would mean. Missouri arguably has had a worse time over the last decade than Kansas State in terms of rediscovering that success of Missouri basketball. And with Dennis Gates, he was able to turn things around once again in year one, just like Jerome Tang having to overhaul a roster. You know, Jerome Tang, he gets to keep Marquise Noel. Dennis Gates, he gets to keep a guy like Kobe Brown. And then he brings DeMoy Hodge with him. And this Missouri team, they had some great moments this year in terms of their start to the season, being undefeated before taking on Kansas, hanging with teams in SEC play, finishing in the middle of SEC, coming back with a big win over Arkansas, who's Sweet 16 bound. They beat Tennessee at the buzzer on the road. They had another buzzer beater in a non-conference tournament early in the year against UCF. Fun times in year one for Dennis Gates, and I think just because you lose to a 15 seed in the first weekend and not in the first round, the second round, I don't think it's anything to hang your head about. Yeah, it sucks because you felt like you had the best path to the Sweet 16 of anybody. You didn't get Arizona, you got Princeton. But sometimes 15 seeds after they beat a top seed, it's not like Farley Dickinson yesterday where you use everything to beat a team like Purdue. And they also were a play-in team. It's a 15-seeded Princeton team that was damn good and was playing with house money, and they caught you on a bad day. That's the NCAA tournament, and that's the main reason as to why the Missouri Tigers are headed home and not to the Sweet 16 this year with a chance to reach the Final Four. But Kansas State, the only local team to head on to the second weekend after their win over Kentucky. Kansas falls to Arkansas. Missouri falls to Princeton. Well, that'll wrap up another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I've been your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 AM. You take it easy, Kansas City.